As you recall, each week we're looking at a different story that comes from the Bible. Most of these are a little less well-known stories. Today is probably a little more well-known, although we're going to look at it in a little less well-known way, if that makes any sense. The artist today, to depict the story of Jonah, chose to do something that you can take home with you and color in as you pray and reflect this week on the message that Jonah has for us today. So I offer that to you. Take your bulletin home, pull out your coloring pencils, and enjoy that. On the front of your bulletin, there's another artist's rendition of that image. Pay attention, if you will, over the next few minutes to the verse that is woven into this image from Jonah, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse. "For I knew you were gracious and compassionate." This is what Jonah says to God in a prayer. Jonah, of course, is a story about grace, a story about God's grace. And I want to suggest to you today that it's a story about our struggle with grace. That may sound a little strange to you. I'll try to help explain. Jonah, if you'll remember, is called by God to go to Nineveh to cry out against it because God was aware of the evil ways of the Ninevites. And Jonah runs away instead of going to Nineveh. Jonah runs away to another place called Tarshish. Initially, as we read the book of Jonah, it's short, only 4 chapters, we don't really have a clue as to why Jonah runs away. Scripture doesn't tell us Jonah runs away because of... No, not at all. Jonah just runs with no explanation. You no doubt remember what happened next when Jonah runs. He gets on a ship. A storm comes up. The sailors are terrified of the storm. Jonah, however, is down below deck in the ship, just sleeping away, snoozing, seemingly no idea that the storm is going on. Sounds a lot like the story of Jesus in the New Testament, right? The sailors up above are fearing for their life, and they tell everyone aboard the ship to pray. "I don't care what your God is, I don't care who you pray to, just please pray that this will end." Well, they eventually approach Jonah, ask Jonah if he knows anything. They encourage him to wake up and pray to your God that we might be saved. And as they're talking to Jonah, Jonah eventually fesses up. He admits that he's been running away from God, and that is the reason that this storm is going on. And it's kind of funny when you get here in this part of the story, because Jonah tells the sailors to do what? Do you remember, if you've read and recall this story from childhood? "Throw me overboard, and the storm will stop." Why didn't Jonah just throw himself overboard if he knows that will stop the storm? I don't even know if we always think about that. Tell the sailors, "Look, if you want it to stop, just throw me overboard." He doesn't take one for the team. He doesn't jump out so that the storm will stop and save everybody else. He just tells them to. Why does he tell the sailors to throw him but not do anything himself? Who knows? A couple ideas. Could be that Jonah's attitudes and priorities are a little questionable, maybe. He admits that it's him, and he tells the sailors how to stop the storm, but he isn't actually about to step out and help them, to sacrifice himself for them. That could be the reason, maybe. Could be that Jonah wasn't scared at all. The sailors were the ones who were scared, of course, but Jonah was sleeping. Didn't even know the storm was going on. Maybe Jonah trusted that the storm wouldn't destroy him because he knew that the storm was God's doing. Knew that God had sent him to go somewhere, and he knew that God would save him. So Jonah didn't care about being thrown overboard. "I can jump overboard, I can stay on the ship, it matters not, God's going to take care of us. I trust." He knew that God would save him. I tend to think it's the second one of these answers, that Jonah trusted in God's grace and God's salvation for himself, and so to him it didn't matter whether he was on the ship or in the sea. God and God's grace would take care of him. Well, eventually, the men do throw Jonah overboard. The storm stops, and a great fish swallows Jonah. We often say it was a whale that swallowed Jonah. Well, the scripture just says it was a great fish, and maybe that great fish was a whale. We don't really know what kind of fish it was. A little hard to believe story. But this whale, this fish, has something important to teach Jonah. He's in the belly of this fish, as the story says, for 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days, 3 nights. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was dead for 3 days, of course, before the resurrection happened. And I think that this story may even set the stage for that story in some ways. That this story of Jonah may be Jonah's own experience of resurrection from the belly of this fish. At the least, we know from the story that Jonah prays. Jonah then speaks, or God, upon hearing Jonah's prayer, speaks to the fish, and the fish does what? Vomits Jonah out onto dry land. Jonah is saved. God again comes to Jonah, telling Jonah, go to Nineveh. This time, Jonah obeys. Something happened in the belly of that fish that changed Jonah. So he goes to Nineveh. He proclaims God's message, and as unbelievable as it is, the entire city of Nineveh repents. Again, I think this is kind of funny, because we don't often think about what that means, right? It's a little crazy if you think about it, that a whole city repents. I mean, can you imagine someone, perhaps some crazy prophetic guy coming into Dunn right now, proclaiming a word over something that our city together is doing wrong, and we all just right then and there drop everything we're doing and start to repent from it? I don't know about you, but I don't see that happening very much in this day and age. So why do these people believe Jonah? Why do they heed his message? Why don't they laugh him right out of town? What is it about Jonah's words that get them to actually see the evil that was going on in their midst? Frankly, it seems implausible, unbelievable. I can tell you for certain that if you and I went out today and marched through Dunn or Raleigh or London or Beijing or anywhere else in the world and proclaimed God's word against evil, most folks would ignore us, laugh at us, talk about us, berate us. We'd probably get on the news, perhaps. And if we get a little too insistent, they'd probably lock us up. Think about it. Those are all the kinds of things that happen this day and age to people who go in proclaiming to a city or to a county or to a nation or to a state, to some large group of people, that there is evil going on. Entire cities never repent in this day and age. But in this story, this tall tale, if you will, the Ninevites listen to Jonah. They heed his words. And we get this great rationale from the king of Nineveh. Perhaps you'll remember it from Jonah chapter 3 and verse 9. It's kind of funny and maybe something that's kind of needed in our day and age. Here's what it says. The king thought to himself, who knows? God may see us repenting and turn from his wrath so that we might not perish. Who knows? It could happen. Wow. Our repentance might actually work. The king says, he doesn't know God. The God of Jonah is not the God of Nineveh. But the king hears Jonah's word and says, hey, can't hurt. Might as well give it a try. I wish more people in our world would take the lead from this king. He's so willing to concede the possibility of God's power and truth that he says, hey, we might as well repent. It just might work. I wish our world was as open-minded today. You who don't believe, you who say you have no faith, you who struggle with religion, just give it a try. It might work. It might be worthwhile. It might be just what you need. It might save you in ways you can't begin to understand or imagine in this moment. What if? In fact, I think the king's statement tells us exactly why Jonah ran away in the beginning of the story. I think it gives us a clue. I think it's a hint. I think when we read this king's, who knows, God might actually forgive us statement, that it tells us why Jonah ran. Jonah knew the Ninevites were evil. They were disliked. And in Jonah's mind, they didn't deserve God's grace, God's forgiveness. But if Jonah proclaimed God's word to them, then God might actually forgive them, these evil people, these violent, brutish people. And that wouldn't do for Jonah, because they didn't deserve it. So Jonah runs. And in fact, that's exactly what the story says. Beginning at the end of the third chapter of Jonah and moving into chapter 4, it says, God saw what the Ninevites were doing, that is, that they were repenting, that they had ceased their evil behavior, so God stopped planning to destroy them. And he didn't do it. Actually, the Hebrew says something a little more profound, maybe even controversial. The Hebrew says that God repented, that God turned away from the harm that God thought about doing to these people, turned in a new direction. That's really what repentance means. It means when you're headed in one direction that isn't good, you turn around and you head in the other direction that is good. So that's exactly what the Hebrew says. It says God repented. That's not the sermon for today, but that's something you can take home with you and kind of marinate on a little bit over the course of this week. The scripture continues in chapter 4, but Jonah thought this was utterly wrong, and he became angry. What did Jonah think was wrong? That God would forgive these evil, harmful, brutish, bullish, violent people. And he got angry about that. He got angry about God's grace and God's mercy. I love the Common English Bible translation and the way it describes Jonah here. It says, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Come on, Lord. Wasn't this precisely my point when I was back in my own land? This is why I fled to Tarshish earlier. I knew that you were a merciful and compassionate God, very patient, full of faithful love, and willing not to destroy. Jonah ran because he knew God was gracious and compassionate. And in his own mind, he couldn't reconcile that kind of grace for a people so bad as the Ninevites. Why did Jonah flee? He knew that God would forgive him. He knew that God would be gracious to Jonah's enemy. And Jonah, as it says, couldn't live with that. Jonah on the ship and in the belly of the fish was perfectly happy to trust in God's grace for himself, knowing that he would be okay. I can just sleep it away. God's going to take care of me. That's what grace is about. Jonah was perfectly happy to trust in God's grace for himself, but he couldn't be a part of giving that grace to people whom he saw as evil, people who he didn't like, people who were his enemies. This story should cause us to think long and hard about people that we don't like, people that we don't agree with, people that we think are wrong, people of different persuasions than us, people that we have a want to judge, people who we would like God to judge because of what they're doing in the world. This story says God's grace extends to everyone, not just me, but to people who I think are wrong, people who I think are evil. God's grace is for everyone, and God is so incredibly generous with grace that it is as if there is no other option from God's perspective than to give grace, to do everything possible, to say a word and a truth to people so that they might reach back out to God and receive and accept that grace. Jonah knew this. He trusted in God's grace as he ran away, yet he couldn't handle it when it came to other people. even as God sent Jonah to speak a message of truth to the Ninevites, we have only a small amount of that message, the message that Jonah spoke to Nineveh. Essentially, Jonah told the people that they will be overthrown. That's really all the words of Jonah that this story tells us, that he actually said to the Ninevites. In 40 days, you'll be overthrown. We don't know much more of what that message was. We do know that the city was huge, and it would take days and weeks for Jonah to get all around the city to say the word that he had to share with them. But the only word that we actually get is, in 40 days, you'll be overthrown. The implication is that turning to God can change the outcome. Jonah didn't go around saying you're going to hell. Jonah didn't condemn the people. He didn't exercise some kind of judgment upon the people. He simply said what God told him to say, in 40 days, will be overthrown. In other words, the way that you are living leads to a particular outcome. And if you continue living in this way, look, bad stuff's going to happen. People aren't going to like you. You're going to go down a wrong path. Things are not going to go well for you. All Jonah did was speak the truth. Jonah's proclamation wasn't judgment. It was simply calling attention to what lay ahead if the Ninevites continued their evil ways. The message was God's way of reaching out to offer grace. Just as Jesus says in John 3:17. We'd love to quote John 3:16. Listen to John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's exactly what Jonah does. He doesn't go to Nineveh to condemn it. He goes to Nineveh to save it through God's grace. How often do Christians use Jesus or the Bible to condemn others, when the whole point is that Jesus and the Bible are here to save everyone? Just like Jonah, a man sent by God to save the Ninevites through God's grace. In many ways, Jesus teaches us the lesson that the book of Jonah teaches us when Jesus says these words, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This may be the hardest thing in the world to do, but it is a consistent teaching in the Bible. God's grace extends to us all. I am no better than anyone else, no more deserving of grace than anyone else. I am no more right than anyone else. For we all fall short. We should never condemn people because we don't like them, don't agree with them, because we're not comfortable with their lifestyle or their choices. Instead, when we feel the need to judge or condemn or withdraw God's grace from others, then we need an experience like Jonah in the belly of the whale. An experience that tells us, look, if you're happy to trust in God's grace for your own life, then you need to learn to trust in God's grace for everyone else as well. This is one of the reasons that I love our church mission statement so much. I'm going to remind you of that mission statement. It says this: our mission at Hood Memorial Christian Church is to serve Christ through mutually supporting one another and embodying God's grace and love for all. There's the message of Jonah right in our church mission statement. Embodying God's grace and love for all. Now listen, I don't want to make light of this message today. Extending grace to one's enemies, whether that's an enemy in your life, that's a friend or a coworker or a difficult relationship that you have, or whether that enemy is another group of people, a nation, a country. Extending grace can be one of the hardest things to do in our life. The message of the book of Jonah asks us a lot of hard questions. How do we show grace when lives are at stake? How do we call an entire group of people to turn towards God in a way that will actually work? Jonah didn't just try. He didn't get laughed out of town. He didn't get locked up. He didn't condemn people. He said something that worked. What is the appropriate and effective way to name evil in this world? Those are tough questions. I don't have any easy or simple answers. I only know that the call of our faith is, as Jesus and Jonah tell us, to love our enemies and show forth embodying God's grace and love for all. May we live together in such a way that we find out how to do that in both the easy and the hard places of this life.